Good morning. Welcome to New Hope Fellowship. Today as we dig in, I want to talk to you about being mission-minded at work. And I know that topic might seem kind of ironic in light of what has just happened in Illinois. For those that maybe are watching and don't live here, on Friday a bunch of us got told not to go to work for several weeks. So this may seem like a really odd time to talk about being mission-minded in our work. But the reality is that all of us are going to continue to work in a variety of ways. You may not be at your normal job, but there are doubtless opportunities and things that you'll be doing. And maybe not being at your normal job comes with some added stresses. That's highly likely. But we're all going to still be doing a variety of important jobs, a variety of important work in the days ahead. So I want to ask you, maybe even if your situation has changed, what kind of work are you doing now? Maybe you're now directly overseeing education of your children. That might be new. Maybe there's a lot more cooking at home that you're going to be doing. Maybe you're now caring for family members or for neighbors. Maybe you're still doing your job, but you're doing it from home. And maybe there's other ways that your work is having to make significant adjustments so you can continue working. Even if we're making changes, there's still other people who are working maybe even harder than ever to keep necessary things going and available. Many of these people are working even more than normal, in even more stressful circumstances than they've ever worked before. I know that Melissa and I are making a point every day to pray for those constantly at risk in the medical community, in emergency services, and honestly, even in stores that are remaining open to the public. There is no doubt in my mind that when it comes to work, these are difficult times. And yet, no matter what work there is for our fingers to do, there is a way in which it should all be done that will represent Christ well and allow us to reach people for Him. So how do we become more mission-minded regarding our work? Certainly, I'm not suggesting that amid some chaotic, high-stress moment that you insist everyone stop so you can talk about your faith, or that you insist on praying some elaborate prayer. That may not be the best way to be mission-minded in our work. Now, don't get me wrong, there may be a time where that's appropriate and where that opportunity should be seized, and it might come up. But instead, what I think we're really focusing on is how do we live out our faith in how we work? That really matters. And most people tend to think of their job as something that's kind of more secular and that their faith is separate from that. And that's never how Christ called us to live. In fact, Scripture has a good deal to say about how all of us are to do our work and how it's to not only be done, but it's to be done for the Lord. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, I want to encourage you to go to Colossians 3, 23 through 25. And we're going to look at that here in just a moment. Colossians 3, 23. Now, originally this passage was written by Paul to slaves regarding how they were to work for their masters. Paul's message was how the gospel directs us to live. It's not an approval of these social institutions. So this is not a hearty approval of slavery. He's just saying it exists, and this is how you should navigate it. And there's certainly room for application in the midst of those statements in how we as employees should operate towards our employers. So here's Colossians 3, 23 through 25. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward, the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Now, notice that God isn't asking us to go reform our employers. He's saying, I'll handle that when there's wrong done. Paul is telling Christians that we each need to recognize that we represent God when we work. So we need to understand that when we take the name of Christ as a Christian, we're wearing kind of his uniform, and we represent him in whatever we do. So you may do a secular job, but you still represent him. I remember thinking back, I was remembering a commercial that I saw when I was a kid, and maybe some of you will remember this too. It was a commercial between Coke and Pepsi. And so it was a Pepsi commercial, and there was a delivery guy that was dressed in a Coca-Cola uniform, and he started stocking shelves with Coca-Cola. And when he was all done, he was all tired, and he went to reward himself, he got a Pepsi. And, oh man, it was meant to embarrass Coke, and I think it did a pretty good job of that. A Coke employee shouldn't be drinking a Pepsi. That's just not right. And that's kind of the same way I look at this idea. As a Christian, even if we're in a secular workplace, we need to remember we're still wearing the Christian uniform. And our conduct should be accordingly. We should be living out our Christian convictions, and that should impact our work. And it's going to create opportunities to represent Christ well and point other people to him. In light of the fact that as Christians we represent Christ, I want to challenge you today in three specific areas that we see the Apostle Paul address in his various letters. And the first one of those, if you're taking notes, we're going to do three. Number one is, be gracious. And this instruction comes from Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ you will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Let's be honest, a lot of workplaces are full of complainers. We complain about those under us who aren't doing what they're asked to do. We complain about those over us who don't get it. We complain about our peers who we have to keep cleaning up behind. At the end of the day, we just like to complain. And even at home, we complain about those who are under us, who don't do what they're told. We complain about those over us, who don't get it. And we complain about our peers, who we have to keep cleaning up behind. Turns out, work at home and work at work might not be that different. The bottom line is that it's easier to complain and to blame than to be responsible for ourselves. We're equally quick to argue. And this verse actually tells us to work without arguing or complaining. Now, that doesn't mean we can't share ideas or collaborate, but we shouldn't be obstinate or difficult to work with. Being someone who's positive, who looks for the best in others, who isn't playing the victim card, who cooperates and puts forth effort, unfortunately today, that's not the typical employee. For those kids listening today, this can be a big challenge for you too. Just like mom or dad at work, you're instructed to be cooperative without arguing or complaining. And that's hard to do. Trust me. I remember. I literally hated being told, it's time to go pull weeds in the garden, son. I used to complain all the time that I shouldn't have to help grow something that I don't even want to eat. And I remember my dad many times saying that if I had been working instead of complaining, I would have already been done by now. I'm still not 100% sure that that is true. But not complaining and having a good attitude would have made the job a lot better for everyone involved. At the end of the day, it's not even about mom or dad or bosses or coworkers. At the end of the day, whatever work we find ourselves doing, it's about serving the Lord and pointing others to Him. So I got a discussion question for you. I'm going to have one of these at the end of each little segment here, but this is the discussion question, and we'll put these in the comments below. Next time you find yourself complaining or arguing, how can you change course? Next time you find yourself complaining or arguing, how can you change course? Another way we work for the Lord is to behave like the Lord and be humble. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." If you keep reading through that passage, you're going to quickly see that Jesus modeled that by laying down his own life for others. Not even others who loved and appreciated him, but for others who opposed and hated him. It is hard to be that selfless. In this life, it quickly starts to feel as though you have to look out for yourself because no one else is going to do it for you. In reality, there are very few who will look out for you and do so consistently. Very young, we start practicing looking out for our own needs. Although we try to strategize and prioritize things to work best for us, maybe once in a while we consider others in the equation, but often it's because somehow they're going to directly impact us. And it quickly becomes about taking care of me and mine. So the truth of this passage, however, is that you're not really trusting others to look out for you when you look out for them. If you put others ahead of yourself, you probably will have some people that will step on you to get ahead. When you exercise humility, what you're counting on is that God is looking out for you and that He's the one that will lift you up just like He did Christ. Christ did put others first, and for a moment He was brought very low. But then God elevated Him above everyone else. Maybe you've already had one of those moments when you wanted to fight for yourself, but you didn't. You trusted God with it, and He worked out something far better than you could have ever achieved on your own. That is just like our God. You don't have to fight for your rights. You have to trust God with your future and walk with humility. Here's the discussion question. What's an upcoming situation where you could be looking out for someone else? You ready for number 3? Be respectable. You could probably put a lot of different synonyms there, but we see this idea in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Paul says, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ, not by way of eye service, as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Not only should we do what we're supposed to do when it comes to a job, we still do that even if we could get away with something less. This is a matter of integrity. Maybe you've heard that integrity is doing what is right even when nobody is watching. I think that's true. I recently heard a quote that put it a little different, similar. They said, the trophy is earned during the hours when no one is watching. I'll never forget it. My first job, I had an older man come up to me who was watching me work, and he gave me this advice. He said, the best way to stay employed was to constantly look busy and overwhelmed, even when you aren't. Now, looking back, obviously that wasn't working out so well for him since he was a co-worker with a high schooler making minimum wage. And I would guess if the boss knew that was his attitude, he would have been gone before the end of the day. If we're working for the Lord, who is always watching, then we will always keep working in a respectable way. No one wants to be the adult who grows up and still cleans the room by pushing everything under the bed and out of sight. That person has clearly learned that it's not about doing the job well, it's all about first impressions. So let me ask you this. What are some of the potential consequences when corners get cut? That's the question for your discussion. What are some of the potential consequences when corners get cut? As Christians, no matter what job we're doing, whether that's gathering trash around the house, or picking up shoes, or restocking the bathroom with toilet paper, and I understand that may be a sore subject right now, no matter if the job is refilling the copier with paper so that the next person doesn't find it empty when they need it, or filing your taxes correctly, it could be mowing the lawn, which I hope we're doing again soon, or having to be the boss who writes someone up at work for a discipline. No matter what work you are doing, be gracious, be humble, be respectful, and work as unto the Lord. Not only will He raise you up, but He will draw others to Himself through you. We're mission-minded at work when we wear the uniform and act accordingly. Colossians chapter 6 that we just looked at has a couple more verses there, verses 7 and 8, that end this way. With goodwill render service as to the Lord and not to men. So with a good intention, a good heart, work as unto the Lord. Don't worry about men. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, whatever good you do, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. God rewards those who seek after Him and do things His way. Being mission-minded in our work basically comes down again to trust. Do we trust God enough to do it His way? Do we trust God enough to stop grumbling and complaining, even though grumbling and complaining may have become very beneficial to us? Do we trust God enough to put others ahead of ourselves, even though in the short term that may look like we're moving further down the ladder? Do we trust God enough to work with integrity, even though we might look more productive by taking shortcuts? Maybe as you look at this today, you can think of other scriptures that should influence our work and will help us shine brightly in our world. And I'd love for you to share those in the comments below. Also, you'll find those discussion questions, and I want to encourage you, whoever you're watching this with, or maybe you know someone else who's watched it as well, give them a call and talk those things over. I hope you'll take time to dive into this. Let me close by praying for you. Lord God, we thank you that you are right here with us, wherever we're watching. Lord, you're faithful and you're good. You have good intention for us. You have good desires for us. and you want to accomplish good things in us. Lord, you want us to be the kind of people that point others to you. Lord, you want us to be mission-minded at our work, no matter what kind of work we're doing, even if it's not a paid work. Lord, we should be working for you. So, Lord, we pray that that you'll continue to just put that at the forefront of our mind this week and whatever work we find ourselves doing. Lord, I pray that we'll do it for you. And so, God, I just give you thanks and praise, and pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to thank you for tuning in here, and we'll be, unfortunately, not doing anything at New Hope service-wise again this week or Bible studies as we continue to follow this, but be watching for those daily devotionals on Facebook. We're doing Facebook Live devotions around the noon hour each day, and we'd love to see you tune into that and comment, and we want to just encourage you and cheer you along, and don't hesitate to reach out to Pastor Nick or I through the week. We'll be looking to make contact with several of you and just keep connections going. So thank you for your faithfulness, and may you continue to be used by God.